everyone. This is Dr. Van Merkel. We take you healthcare every Saturday, 11 to noon, right here, right now, the healthiest talk show host in the country, in the world, in the state, right here, to help you with your health. That's our goal, our mission, our purpose, is to help you be healthy. And I got a great show for you today. I'm very excited about it. And there's a lot going on. Oh, there's even a Celtic festival going on here today downtown. Celtic. Sometimes I want to say Celtic, you know? Celtic, you know, it's the Boston Celtics basketball team, not the Boston Celtics. But anyway, it's a great place to have fun, get some food. See, they got great entertainment down there. And I'm going to be heading there this afternoon. I am Dr. Merkel, doctor of chiropractic, board certified in clinical nutrition, and a couple other board certifications. And I've been right here in the Miami Valley for, over 40 years. Yep, 40 awesome years. And right here behind this marvelous WHIO microphone for over 30 years. Probably close to 25 right now. 25 years right here. And it is truly an honor to be with you. And it is just great. And the beauty of this awesome radio station is you can listen to it on AM, FM. You can listen to it online. Anywhere in the world you are, you can tune in online and see what's happening here in this marvelous Miami Valley. And WHIO.com, there it is. How easy is that? And I've been here in Miami Valley for 40 years. My office is on Far Hills Avenue in Royal Swiss Village. And our focus is basically to get you healthy. If you ever want a second opinion for a health problem, we're the place to go to. We have a couple other great doctors with us. Dr. Andrew Dyer, he's been with us over 20 years, and he is board certified in clinical nutrition, like I am, but he also has a board certification in acupuncture. Yeah, he studied a lot. I kind of think of him as kind of a brainiac, but he is just incredibly smart. And he has some awesome cases, just tremendous cases of something just came to mind. He has one of his patients is one of the longest living kidney transplant patients. One of the longest living kidney transplant patients Dr. Dyer took care of. He's also got some cancer cases. Whenever I lecture, and I've lectured around the world, not around the world, South Korea, and in Europe. But it's not like I go a lot. I lecture a lot more United States, and I teach continuing education. My specialty is laboratory analysis. Yes, I'm an expert in laboratory analysis. I've been training doctors on that for over 20 years, probably closer to 30 years. I've been training doctors in advanced laboratory analysis and nutrition. And we're going to talk about some of the things, a really good case. Let me give you an overview of what I'm going to talk about today. We're going to talk about, I got my watch here. And the main thing I use on my watch is to check my heart rate. So I'll check my heart rate here in a second and see where I'm at. Got a friend who had an elbow problem. He'd had an elbow problem for many, 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 many months. And he's telling me he's going to get a cortisone shot in it. I'll tell you what we have with that. Got a great case on renal cell carcinoma. Actually, breast cancer and renal cell carcinoma. Yeah, that poor lady had both. Renal cell carcinoma and or renal cell kidney cancer and breast cancer. Now, we're also going to talk about testosterone and hormones. Yeah, we got a busy day here. You're going to have to listen fast. But I think what I'm going to share today can truly change your life and help you in so many ways. And maybe not just you, but your family. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Excuse me, I got to get a drink of water. Here. I'm getting water from my water bottle here, the Owala. And it's got a sticker on it that I got this week from Sun Sprouts Cafe in Corwin. You want to take a little, just a little drive past Bellbrook into Corwin. That is the coolest little cafe there. And they got good food, nice environment there by the bike trail in Corwin. And I would highly, if you want something good, some fun, and a local flavor, you know, probably a family owns it, something like that, check out the Sun Sprouts Cafe. Kind of cool name, too. And because I was there a couple days ago when I was on the bike trail. But I was also biking with a friend of mine. And he's, you know, rubbing his elbow, and, you know, he's been complaining about it for a while, and for several months, and, you know, we're on this bike trail, and he's whining about it. Okay, I'm joking, but whining about it a little bit. And he say he's going to go get a cortisone shot. And I say, well, do you really need a cortisone shot? And he said, well, it's the only thing I know of to cut the pain down. Nothing else is working. All right, so I said, let me take a look at it. So I'm a chiropractor, but I've also had advanced training in sports injuries, in extremity adjusting. Extremities, hands, wrists, elbows, shoulders, knees, ankles, and feet. And the doctor that I got trained from was Dr. Leroy Perry, chiropractor out in Los Angeles. He's been a chiropractor for the Stars, a lot of very famous people. And he is also the Olympic chiropractor for Cuba years and years ago. When Cuba was winning all the track and field, he was their chiropractor, and he showed me a taping technique that actually increased a top level athlete's ability. He's talking about the feet and ankles and legs that would actually increase their speed and jumping ability. It's since been outlawed. It's been outlawed in the Olympics and other areas, but at that time he was doing it. I was playing basketball in college. He happened to be there, and I sprained both ankles, believe it or not. Sprained one, I was hobbling around, I sprained the other one. And it was, you know, I was kind of hobbling around, kind of going slow, but he taped me up in this special technique, and I played the game like nothing was wrong. It was amazing, this technique that he's got. And truly, it's not going to make you a great athlete, but if you're already a great athlete, it can help you a few percentage points. Now, I'm not a great athlete, but it really helped me in those college games when he taped me up. So again, that's been outlawed because it really works. But anyway, on this guy's elbow, you know, instead of cortisone shot or, any of those other shots, you know, the platelet-rich PRP, platelet-rich plasma, and all the other stem cell stuff you get injected in joints. Instead of that, I said, well, just let me look at it. Because I've done a lot of elbows, a lot of wrists, things like that. And I checked it out, and I said, okay, just let me see what I can do on this. So he probably thought I was just massaging it, and I was working on it. In only just a few seconds, all it took, because I knew it wouldn't take long, it wouldn't be hard, and so I did the adjustment, and I said that moved, that did it. He goes, I didn't feel anything. He sees a chiropractor and he's expecting something to click and pop and crack and everything else. I said, well, there's some joints that don't do that. You can just feel it slide, where the joint slides into place, and I said, that's what happened. I just felt it. And he kind of looks at me very dubiously, like, yeah, Merkel, yeah, you're full of crap. But in a couple minutes, he goes, wait a minute, the pain is gone and it's looser. It feels more flexible than it has in a long time. Okay. I said, well, of course, what'd you expect? I said I'd fix it. And he couldn't believe how it wasn't a huge, it wasn't like a clack, click, and a pop and anything else like if you relate with chiropractors or other people that do manipulation. It was just, I felt a little slide. And he couldn't believe how much better it is. And I talked to him today. He said, it's even better. He can't believe that what I did was so easy and yet so effective. And he realized that a cortisone shot or platelet-rich plasma, whatever it is, isn't going to realign the joint. If it's a joint problem, that is, now I'm not talking a major realignment. I'm talking a micro misalignment, a micro. And all I did was just at a micro, you know, micromillimeter, just a very small amount. I felt it slide and I knew that was the right thing. And I've adjusted many golfers for that. You know, they where they got this pain, and I'm not a golfer, but when they rotate the wrist, it affects the elbow, and sometimes that needs adjusted. I've worked with people at their wrist. I remember a post office guy, man, he had this pain all the time, and I adjusted it. That took care of it. One guy was a meat cutter, and he was cutting meat all day with a knife, and he came to see me, and we adjusted his wrist, and it felt a lot better. But he's cutting meat every day, hours and hours a day. And I said, the best you can do is just get that adjusted on a regular basis, because of your job, it's never going to stay in place. You see, in the wrist, there's two rows of bones, four bones in each row. You got eight bones in there, and the carpal tunnel goes through that, which supplies nerves and blood vessels, things like that, to your hand. And sometimes those bones get out of alignment. Well, when you're chopping meat all day long, those bones get a little bit, you know, misaligned, micro misaligned. You'll never see it on x-ray. You can tell by functionally manipulating the wrist. When I feel that wrist, I can kind of palpate, feel what's happening in those bones, and then realign it. And I realigned it, and I taped his wrist properly, and it felt really good for this guy. He said, you know, I'm going to go to a hand doctor and just get carpal tunnel surgery. I said, that's the wrong thing. I said, that's absolutely the wrong thing. But he wanted it, and I'm putting quotation marks around it, he wanted it fixed. It's not fixable. Because of your job, you're continually traumatizing it. But he had the carpal tunnel surgery, and guess what? He never worked a day again. The carpal tunnel surgery was a failure, and he had even more pain before than afterwards. I told him the carpal tunnel sometimes doesn't work. Surgeries sometimes just don't work. And I tell you, if I can get it realigned, it's like your car tire. If your car's out of alignment, you can realign it, but if you keep driving it, it's going to come out of alignment again. That's just the way it is. And if you live in an area where there's a lot of potholes, you're going to have to realign it and realign it and realign it. That's just life. And there's no way around it. You just got to get realigned, and hopefully you don't hit any more potholes or do something that's going to wreck your joints. But before you have any surgery or even steroid shots or platelet-rich plasma or all these other expensive things, you might try getting adjusted. There's lots of chiropractors around the city. I'm not saying they're all the same. Some have different specialties. Some do more pediatrics. Some do geriatrics. Some do neurology. Some do orthopedics. And there are some like me that did sports injuries. And I've trained Dr. Dyer and Dr. Yaley on these techniques to adjust the extremities, wrist, elbows, shoulders. My daughter is a high level and was in high school played for Brellbrook. She was, district player of the year and all that stuff. And I was adjusting her wrist and elbows and shoulders at least once a week, if not a couple times a week, because of the stress on her body from all the, and her knees too. I did her knees and feet because all the jumping she was doing and all the hitting was doing was hard on her shoulders, her elbows, and her hands. And so we kept her adjusted. And she always felt better and really enjoyed getting adjusted. So if you got joint problems out there, I'd say see a chiropractor who knows how to do these things. And usually the nice thing about adjusting wrists and elbows and things like that is response is almost immediate. Like the guy with the elbow or other people I could name dozens over the years that after it's adjusted, it's like, oh, wow, that's looser. Flexibility, numbness, pain, stiffness is gone or greatly relieved and heading in the right direction. Now, sometimes it takes two or three, four adjustments. Sometimes just one. I don't know. It depends on you. Depends on how long you've had it. Depends on other things. Oh, I'm getting a note that it's time to take a break here. Hey, when we come back, we're going to be talking about heart rate and cancer. You're listening to Dr. Merkel at Take Two Healthcare. We'll be right back after this. And I am Dr. Merkel, doctor of chiropractic, board certified in clinical nutrition. If you'd like to contact our office, the number to call is 937-433-3241. That's 433-3241. And go to the Take Two Healthcare website, take2healthcare.com. And you can read more about what we do and that kind of thing. There's a lot of services that we have. And I do want to talk about the renal cell carcinoma cancer case and breast cancer case. But first, there's a big headline in MedPage. And this was 2 days ago? July 24th. Okay, a few days ago. And the headline is, U.S. measles cases count, the U.S. measles case count breaks record. Wow, in 2025, the nation has had 2,289 cases, the worst year for measles in more than three decades. Oh, the horror. But no deaths are reported. 2,289, but no deaths. Huh. And it goes through details. You can go to MedPage yourself and read the whole article if you want. And they talk about, in the comments section, there's a lot of doctors who they, how dangerous it is that people aren't getting their measles vaccine as a child and all that time. And to get a shot could save your child from the horror, the trauma, the distress of having measles. 2,289 cases, 2 out of 25. Now, I'm 69. Okay, closer to 70 than 69. And the measles, mumps, and chickenpox vaccines weren't invented when I was a kid. And everybody got mumps, measles, and chickenpox. Everybody. They're saying 2,289 cases, the worst in the United States for three decades. Heck, I'll bet there were that many cases just in our county. Van Wert County is where I grew up. There's probably that many in Van Wert County at any given time. No deaths. The idea of these vaccines is to kind of relieve the suffering of children. Not to reduce deaths. Well, the idea is it would reduce deaths, but we don't know that for sure. Because if you've listened to the show, they did a study of people who are vaccinated versus unvaccinated. No comparison. Absolutely no comparison. The people who are vaccinated have far more cancer, autoimmune disease, asthma, autism, ADD, everything is much worse when you're vaccinated. I want to give you a little of my thought here. I only got about a minute. There are no deaths reported for this year. What if measles comes back in large numbers, like they're saying, but there's no deaths? So, like, my girls are 24 and 27. They've never been vaccinated for anything. And they're perfectly healthy. What happens if measles come back, but there's no deaths, but autism, autoimmune disease, cancer, ADD, and all these other diseases go down because children aren't being vaccinated? Which is worse? Autoimmune disease for life? Lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, MS, psoriasis, Crohn's, cancers, depression, autism for life, or get a little measles for a week. And your child, see, here's what I believe. What if getting measles in some way strengthens and trains the immune system to fight disease in children that will be useful for the rest of their life? They learn, that helps them learn to fight disease. And just what if not getting measles naturally by getting a shot results in a net reduction of natural comprehensive immunity? Maybe explain why cancer, autoimmune disease, asthma are much more prevalent in young people than people in their 70s. I'm Dr. Merkel. We'll be right back after these messages. And we are back. I'm Dr. Merkel, 433-3241. If you'd like to talk to us, if you'd like a second opinion, if you'd like to try a natural way to help, we're it. We are it. Hey, let me ask you something. If you never let a child, an infant, fall down, would they ever learn to walk? If you're an overly protective parent, I don't want my child to bang a knee and bruise a knee or bump their head, and so you never let them even try to walk because you didn't want them to bruise their knee or be traumatized by a bump or a bruise or whatever. You didn't want your child to suffer. So you're not going to let them walk. They never learn how to walk, would they? But children are uniquely designed because they're low to the ground to learn how to walk. And if they learn how to walk when they're very young, that's going to translate in their later years to be able to walk in snow, They'll walk in wind, in sand, in water, up mountains, walk in creeks, do mountain climbing, all kinds of things, because their body learned at a young age that ability to walk and move, that kind. They didn't experience everything, but they got the idea, so their body, oh, we can adapt to snow. We can adapt to sand. We can adapt to climbing a mountain and all these things. Same with your body with disease. The babies, these young people, are uniquely designed to get sick. Their immune system is different than yours and ours. And if you allow the immune system to get sick, it gets stronger. But if you give a shot, you are reducing the body's natural, the way, who knows, it's developed over thousands, maybe millions of years to fight what is in our environment. But if you always try to pick it up, don't let it get sick. Don't let it get sick. And it has been shown that children who are in a protected environment and they never get in dirt have more disease. More asthma, more allergies, more autoimmune disease. People like me who grew up on a farm where we're working out in the field all day and it's dusty and we got farm animals and everything else. And basically when, you know, mom would bring our sandwiches around, what would we do to clean our hands? We just rub them off on our shirt or pants. Okay, I can't see anything, so it must be clean. And we'd eat our food right there. Yep. No, we didn't sanitize our hands. We didn't sanitize things. We just ate it. And they found that those kids have a stronger immune system. You try to protect, and you're actually creating problems. Okay. Oh, by the way, you can listen to these shows over again. Over again, go to WHIO.com. Ask the experts. These things that you can download there. Or you can go to Take 2 Healthcare, you can go to our website, take2healthcare.com, and you can listen to these shows over and over, and maybe you missed some, you can get those there. But I want to get right into one of the doctors that has done training under me, and I do consulting for these doctors, and I don't take new patients anymore, but I've trained Dr. Dyer, Dr. Yaley, and they are awesome doctors. I have full confidence in them, and there are some doctors around the country who have had my training, and sometimes they get a couple tough case and they want some help. So here's a lady, or this doctor. And she sent this question about this patient. Patient's 70-year-old female, and the testing was done in May of 2026. She's got concerns about her kidneys and possibly having cancer. And she's been to many doctors, and they want to do a kidney biopsy on her. They want to do a kidney biopsy on her because there's possibility of cancer. So they want to go right to the biopsy. And the doctor asked if they think it's a good idea. Well, I ran the doctor listened to me and ran a cancer panel on this patient and a thorough evaluation, what we call basically the science-based nutrition panel. So it does show that there's kidney involvement. The BUN is elevated, the uric acid is elevated, and the creatinine is elevated. In fact, the creatinine is extremely high. And so, yes, this patient does have kidney problems. And but there is no specific tumor marker for renal cell carcinoma. Now, renal cell carcinoma is kidney. Renal, think kidney, okay? I don't need to be too technical here, but renal is kidney. All right, so they also ran a cancer panel. And a cancer panel, now this is the original testing was in February of 2026. And the CA2729, which is the most common tumor marker for breast cancer women, was 96. That's code blue high. That's extremely high. Should be less than 38. So that's extremely high. She's also got CA15-3 is high. And some other numbers here, they're elevated too. So she's got 1, 2, 3 cancer markers that are elevated. One's extremely high for breast cancer, very high. Okay, so the doctor contacted me back in February, told him what to do, put him on a special diet and a protocol, listen carefully, not to treat cancer, but to optimize their health kind of supercharge your immune system so they can get healthy, and maybe then their body can get it under control. And so in May 1st, they retested again after this patient was very compliant, followed the program. The patient's feeling better. Cancer marker, well, actually the kidney function is significantly better. Kidney function, creatinine is down 25%. It's actually more than that, about 33%. It's down to 1.5, which is pretty darn good. The BUN, creatinine are down, EGFR is up. That's all good. Kidney function. And the cancer marker, ooh, this is exciting. Cancer marker for CA2729 indicates breast cancer dropped from 96.3 down to 23.8. Now, here's what I think is happening. I think this lady has underlying breast cancer. It's not been diagnosed yet. Now, the CA2729 is the most common tumor marker for breast cancer in women. I think, looking at the labs, that she may have had breast cancer that has metastasized to the kidney. And that's affecting kidney function. And that's why they want to do a biopsy. But the kidneys are very vascular, and they can create problems. And so I'm not saying not to do it, but what I told what I recommend the patient do to this doctor was delay. In clear back in February, I told him to delay for a couple of weeks. Let's see what the numbers show. So they delayed the biopsy because there's a couple of things. It could be, I think it probably is breast cancer metastasizing to the kidney. It could be an incidental finding. It could have been something that's been there for a long time. So I said, well, if it's metastasized to the kidney, it looks like as high as these numbers are, the cancer markers, is probably already stage 3 or stage 4 cancer. Now, I know you oncologists out there going ballistic on this. I know that the only way you can diagnose cancer is with a biopsy, okay? I get it. However, if these numbers are elevated, it's always pathological. Always pathological. And can you say it's not breast cancer? No, you can't. In fact, it probably is. And when you do a biopsy and you find it is breast cancer, what are you going to use to determine the course of therapy? You're going to use the CA2729. So I'm saying at that number at 98, when it's supposed to be less than 38, is probably stage 4 breast cancer. And I suspect looking at these, remember, I'm an expert in labs. I look at labs all the time. I do consult with doctors all over the country and some other countries too. There are some medical facilities that use our service. And actually, I help them with things. So I believe that it's probably breast cancer metastasized to the kidneys. But the main thing is, she may have renal cell carcinoma too. I don't know. However, after the patient is very compliant, this is critical. The patient's compliant. She wants to avoid radiation, chemo, all these other medical treatments. And with these markers in just 3 months dropping so much, the cancer markers dropping so much, you think she's encouraged to continue? Oh, yeah. If that breast cancer marker went from 96 all the way down to 23, remember, the clinical range is 38, went from 96, even lower than clinical, down to 23, and they see 15.3, 25, red clinical, it dropped to 9.3 in just 3 months. With no medical, no damage, no biopsy, no chemo, no radiation, no hormone therapy, no nothing. I'm thrilled. This is exciting. What would happen, and this may have cost the patient, I don't know, a couple thousand bucks, nothing. If she had done chemo or radiation, what would have happened? Maybe the biopsy would have spread it. Actually, a study came out. Oh, do I have time to get to it now? I don't have time to get to it now. But a study came out that shows a biopsy spreads cancer. Google it. Look it up on MedPage or Medscape, one of those two. The biopsy that you use for breasts and all these other things actually spread the cancer. I've been saying that for years. And they finally have the documentation. But you know what? What they made a note of? Even though they know, studies show that biopsies spread cancer, they're still not recommending doctors change how often they do biopsies. They didn't recommend that doctors stop or use fewer biopsies. They didn't change that at all. But the study shows it actually does spread cancer. It's like this. If you got a hornet's nest and you poke it a few times, what's going to happen? Oh, yeah. That's what a biopsy is. You're poking a hornet's nest. And then they poke it and they pull some hornets out. Yeah, you got breast cancer. We need to go and take that out. Well, guess what? It's already too late. You already spread it. You already spread it. Yes, biopsies spread cancer. And so I believe in several ways this lady is way far ahead because she tried a natural approach. She's not free of cancer, but nobody is. If I tested everybody listening for cancer, no one has zero. Remember when I said that CA2720 is supposed to be less than 38? 38. And if I tested everybody listening, nobody's going to have zero. I mean, if you're a young girl, you might have a, 10 or 11, if you're a little older, maybe in the teens, but the higher the number goes, the worse it is. And that's why I recommend everybody get a cancer screening. Not this little, pardon me, crappy thing that you get at somebody's clinics. You need to get a thorough evaluation because cancer, 1 out of 2 men are going to get cancer. 1 out of 3 women are going to get cancer. Look to your left and look to your right. So this lady, and I've talked about other cases. Suppose that she stays this way. She's 74. Is she going to die with cancer? Yeah. Is she going to die from it? Probably not. And because she made some decisions to get her body healthy, modify her diet, take a few vitamins, she has avoided chemo, radiation, and the, let me quote a word that Medscape and MedPage use about the side effects of chemo radiation. They call them horrific side effects some people have. Horrific side effects to chemo radiation that she's avoided because she just changed her diet, took a few vitamins. And what happens if whatever cancer you got, you'd say, I'm going to try a natural way first. And in a couple weeks or a couple months, your cancer markers go down. What are you going to do? Now, I'm not saying this lady's never going to need chemo radiation, but suppose she delays it forever. At 74, her immune system is probably a little weak. That's what maybe why she got cancer. And she's not going to tolerate chemo radiation like a 20-year-old. But as long as she keeps these numbers good, see, you live and die by those numbers. In fact, I tell when I'm training doctors, they say it's not as important how high the number is, but the direction it's going. If it's going down, you're winning. It's going up, you're losing. That simple. And as long as the numbers are going down, you are winning. And I do this cancer panel on myself at least once a year. Do a thorough evaluation, check my kidneys, my liver, my thyroid, my immune system, da-da-da. And I do a cancer panel in there, too. Now, I don't know if anybody except my nephew who had brain cancer, anybody else has cancer in my immediate family. And I've talked about my nephew, brain tumor. I'm not going to talk about that today, who's in remission because his uncle, me, got the tumor to shrink in half in 3 months. Which means they avoided surgery, chemo, radiation. That boy is now from 12 years old. I think he's now 45. Perfectly fine. Perfectly fine. Never did surgery, chemo, radiation. Yeah, and the tumor shrunk in 3 months on what I do. So what would you rather do? Chemo, radiation, surgery that is permanent, or maybe do some things, get your body healthy, and watch these numbers drop. This is so exciting. Now, okay, I've seen it hundreds of times. I've seen it hundreds of times, but it's so exciting for a new patient, for a patient to see these results like this. And maybe you can do it too. Hey, I'm Dr. Merkel, 433-3241. We got to take a quick break. I'll be right back after this. Woo, I'm Dr. Merkel, 433-3241. If you'd like to contact her office, we'd love to help you. It would be an honor and privilege to help you with your health problem. Maybe give a second opinion. Maybe give you a second chance at life and avoid chemo, radiation, or other medical treatments, or at least delay them. Hey, my testosterone. I keep hearing testosterone ads and everything else and on natural things and raise your testosterone in summer break. Yeah, I got my testosterone up to 500. Woohoo! Well, the clinical range for testosterone is 264 to 916. That's 700 point difference, 264 to 916. So if you're anywhere near, you're considered normal, medically speaking. 264 up to 916, about 700, 650 points, something like that, and you're considered normal. Well, I test mine at least once a year, and I tested mine in February of 2026, and my number was 1,113. 200 points higher than the medical clinical range. 200 points higher, and I have never taken testosterone. Never taken any testosterone drugs or muscle building things or anything. Never. In fact, when I started doing this about 40 years ago and I saw my testosterone, I thought, man, I got a serious problem. Oh, man, do I have cancer or something like that? Because my testosterone is way too high for my age. 1,113, that's down to like teenage 20-year-old level. But maybe 1,113 is normal for a healthy guy who really works at it, takes care of himself. You see, testosterone is basically, well, let me tell you what I tell doctors all the time. One of the first signs of poor health in men is declining sexual drive and sex function and low testosterone. Testosterone is not the problem. It is a sign of poor health. Essential or non-essential. If you're sick, if you got low minerals, if you got kidney, liver, joint problems, those kind of things, is sex a primary function? Your body's not going to waste nutrients and energy on something when you've got a sick liver, when you're nutrient deficient, when you're toxic, when you got other problems. Your body's not going to waste nutrients on that. So if you think taking testosterone or testosterone boosters and all this other crap is going to do you any good, it's not. In fact, guarantee you'll get worse on that. You give somebody testosterone, their own production goes down. Some negative feedback. They always get worse. You give a woman bioidentical hormones, they will get worse. You give somebody testosterone, their own production goes down. The receptor sites no longer respond to synthetic testosterone, and you will get worse. Or you can try naturally like I do. Like I've been training doctors for years, and I've had so many people have dramatic improvement by trying to get just getting healthy. Your testosterone level will do what it's supposed to do. Say I'm Dr. Merkel. I've had a great time this morning sharing with you some of my insights, and hopefully this will give you motivation to get busy and get healthy. So do something today to be healthier than you were yesterday. First of all, call our office and schedule an appointment. Take a walk, call a friend, pray for a country. And by the way, go to church tomorrow. I'm Dr. Merkel.